Friday, June 9th, 1944. Dearest Kitty, great news of the invasion. The Allies have taken Bayeux, a village on the coast of France, and are now fighting for Caen. They're clearly intending to cut off the peninsula where Cherbourg is located. Every evening, the war correspondents report on the difficulties, the courage, and the fighting spirit of the army. To get their stories, they pull off the most amazing feats. A few of the wounded who are already back in England also spoke on the radio. Despite the miserable weather, the planes are flying diligently back and forth. We heard over the BBC that Churchill wanted to land along with the troops on D-Day, but Eisenhower and the other generals managed to talk him out of it. Just imagine, so much courage for such an old man. He must be at least 70. The excitement here has died down somewhat. Still, we're all hoping that the war will finally be over by the end of the year. It's about time. Mrs. Van Dan's constant griping is unbearable. Now that she can no longer drive us crazy with the invasion, she moans and groans all day about the bad weather. If only we could plunk her down in the loft in a bucket of cold water. Everyone in the annex except Mr. Van Dan and Peter has read The Hungarian Rhapsody Trilogy, a biography of the composer, piano virtuoso, and child prodigy Franz Liszt. It's very interesting, though in my opinion, there's a bit too much emphasis on women. Liszt was not only the greatest and most famous pianist of his time, he was also the biggest womanizer, even at the age of 70. He had an affair with Countess Marie Daguet, Princess Caroline von Wittgenstein, the dancer Lola Montez, the pianist Agnes Kingworth, the pianist Sophie Menter, the Circassian princess Olga Yanina, Baroness Olga Meyendorf, actress Lila What's-Her-Name, etc., etc., and there's no end to it. Those parts of the book dealing with music and the other arts are much more interesting. Some of the people mentioned are Schumann, Clara Wieck, Hector Berlioz, Johannes Brahms, Beethoven, Joachim, Richard Wagner, Hans von Bülow, Anton Rubinstein, Frederick Chopin, Victor Hugo, Honoré de Balzac, Hiller, Hummel, Czerny, Rossini, Cherubini, Paganini, Mendelssohn, etc., etc. Liszt appears to have been a decent man, very generous and modest, though exceptionally vain. He helped others, put art above all else, was extremely fond of cognac and women, couldn't bear the sight of tears, was a gentleman, couldn't refuse anyone a favor, wasn't interested in money, and cared about religious freedom and the world. Yours, Anne M. Frank. Tuesday, June 13th, 1944. Dearest Kit, another birthday has gone by, so I'm now 15. I received quite a few gifts. Springer's 5-volume art history book, a set of underwear, 2 belts, a handkerchief, 2 jars of yogurt, a jar of jam, 2 honey cookies, small, a botany book from father and mother, a gold bracelet from Margot, a sticker album from the Van Dans, biomalt and sweet peas from Dussel, candy from Meep, candy and notebooks from Bep, and the High Point, the book Maria Teresa and 3 slices of full cream cheese from Mr. Kugler. Peter gave me a lovely bouquet of peonies. The poor boy had put a lot of effort into finding a present, but nothing quite worked out. The invasion is still going splendidly, in spite of the miserable weather. Pouring rains, gale winds, and high seas. Yesterday, Churchill, Smoots, Eisenhower, and Arnold visited the French villages that the British have captured and liberated. Churchill was on a torpedo boat that shelled the coast. Like many men, he doesn't seem to know what fear is, an enviable trait. From our position here in Fort Annex, it's difficult to gauge the mood of the Dutch. No doubt many people are glad the idle British have finally rolled up their sleeves and gotten down to work. Those who keep claiming they don't want to be occupied by the British don't realize how unfair they're being. Their line of reasoning boils down to this: England must fight, struggle, and sacrifice its sons to liberate Holland and the other occupied countries. After that, the British shouldn't remain in Holland. They should offer their most abject apologies to all the occupied countries, restore the Dutch East Indies to its rightful owner, and then return, weakened and impoverished, to England. What a bunch of idiots. And yet, as I've already said, many Dutch people can be counted among their ranks. What would have become of Holland and its neighbors if England had signed a peace treaty with Germany, as it's had ample opportunity to do? Holland would have become German, and that would have been the end of that. All those Dutch people who still look down on the British, scoff at England and its government of aging lords, call the English cowards yet hate the Germans, should be given a good shaking, the way you'd plump up a pillow. Maybe that would straighten out their jumbled brains.